Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Kathy Sternos, and this is Dr. Scharf. And you heard about our other two partners who are on this, Rosemary Peterkin, who's the project director, and Janice Summerly. I have nothing to disclose. And I want to acknowledge that this research was funded by an Adolescent Family Life Office of Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention Program grant, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to describe an evidence-based intervention called the Newark, New Jersey Best Friends Adolescent Family Life Intervention. And the focus of this is to reduce risky behaviors in teens, promote good values, as well as help teens abstain from drinking, drugs, and sex. And it also has demonstrated positive outcomes for girls and boys, but we're only going to report on the girls today. And we're going to compare the intervention girls with comparison girls who did not get this particular evidence-based intervention. Now, in terms of global trends, they indicate that teenage birth rates are higher in the United States than in England, Australia, Canada, Sweden, Japan. Societal and economic changes, education, the media, and teenagers' attitudes are related to teen pregnancy. There are also high rates of risky behaviors among adolescents, which affect health. Now, I reviewed the literature looking at different countries trying to get a global handling on this particular problem of teen pregnancy, and it is a global problem, and countries do report high teen rates. But in terms of looking at countries that have published on interventions to try and deal with this particular problem, there's a lot of work out there from the United Kingdom, Wales, Canada, and the United States. Not too much out there on other particular industrialized countries. And I'd like to say something globally first. Let's talk a little bit about the United Kingdom. It is such a high-profile problem. It's a political issue. And in comparison with other Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development countries, which is what the UK compares itself with, it is a national concern, and they've got all kinds of types of interventions that they're evaluating to see, you know, how they can reduce the incidence of teen pregnancy. They've also, research indicates that sexual activity in adolescence has been found to have negative outcomes for teens, not to mention teen pregnancy, but also problems with respect to sexually transmitted diseases, okay? Now, the UK reports teen pregnancy is related to low educational attainment, unemployment, homelessness, poor mental and physical health in teen mothers. And they've also been following up and looking at children of mothers. They've had lower birth weights, higher infant mortality rates, greater likelihood of living in poverty, experiencing poor housing and nutrition outcomes. So in other words, they're not getting the best housing or nutrition, and they tend to have school failures. Now in the United States, there's been a lot of research looking at how well teen moms fare, as well as how well their children fare. And it's been associated with a variety of problems for the mother, including increased probability of dropping out of school, which is a big one, sexually transmitted infections, which Dr. Scharf will share some information on, poor emotional health for the moms, depression, risk for suicide, lower self-esteem, regret for sexual activity. And it has consequences, of course, for the child. There's also problems with respect to low birth weights, but also when following these children over time, there's a problem of abuse and neglect in these particular children. Now, Dr. Scharf will talk a little bit about birth rates for teenagers in the U.S.
Can you hear me? I don't know. The United States has the highest rates of teen pregnancy and births of all developed nations. The teen birth rate per 1,000 girls ages 15 to 19 in 2006 in the United States was 41.9. We're in New Jersey, where the teen birth rate per 1,000 girls age 15 to 19 in 2006 was 24.9. But more specifically, if we look at females ages 10 to 14, we have a decline from 1998 to 2002, but we do have some disparities. It's higher among black females ages 10 to 14 years old, And again, there is a decline, but it's still much higher among black females. And more specifically, the number of births to black females ages 10 to 14 in Essex County, which is where Newark Best Friends is located, in 2000 was 22. It has declined to 7 in 2005. While there are declines in all of these rates are still higher. We'd like to see the births under 15 to be zero. Risky behaviors. There are high rates of risky behaviors among Newark teenagers, including drug and alcohol use, smoking, sexually transmitted diseases, HIV, teen pregnancy, all of which adversely affect health. Overall, if we look at the overall United States in 2007, an estimated close to 20 million Americans, 12 years or older, are current users of an illicit drug. 71 million Americans, 12 or older, are current users of a tobacco product. And more than half of Americans 12 or older reported use of alcohol in the past month. The rate of current alcohol use among youth ages 12 to 15 was close to 16%. Looking more specifically at HIV and STD rates in New Jersey teens, the incidence of HIV, that would be the new cases of HIV among 13 to 24-year-olds, has declined very slightly from 1998 to 2002. So has chlamydia in females 15 to 19. However, these rates are still much higher than in other states. The incidence of gonorrhea in females 15 to 19 has declined. But if you look at syphilis, that has increased. All of these rates are per 100,000 population.
Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about an evidence-based intervention which aims to promote abstinence and reduce risky behaviors in teenagers. And we used a couple theoretical frameworks to guide this particular intervention. One was Bandura's social learning theory, the other was Piaget's cognitive development theory. And the intervention has seven different components. It is part of a curriculum and it's implemented in schools and it provides support, role models, education on delaying sex and avoiding risky behaviors. And I'm going to talk about these seven components in a little bit more detail, but in summary, it's more than just talking about stay away from sex. It's got group discussions, it's got mentoring, role modeling, health and fitness classes, cultural events, community service, and a recognition ceremony. And all these activities together provide supportive relationships, positive peer pressure, counseling, sexuality information, and health lessons. So in terms of each of these components, let me say a little bit more about them. In terms of group discussions, Best Friends meets during the school day at least twice a month for a class period to discuss nine major topics. They talk about friendship, love and dating, decision making, self-respect, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, nutrition, physical fitness, HIV and AIDS. And then these meetings usually have an upbeat, lively discussion. Sometimes there's a video that's shown, but there's always great questions and students learn a great deal. Mentor meetings. Each girl by their second year in the program, and this is not a program, they can start in sixth grade and continue in seventh and eighth grade, so it is a high dosage program. And kids tend to stay within the program for that whole period of time. But by their second year in the program, they've identified a female teacher who's going to serve as their confident and informal advisor. And the mentor signs a contract with the girl to meet at least for 45 minutes each week. And they have conversations about these different topics, the importance about abstaining from premarital sex, staying away from drugs and alcohol, and there's mentor guides that help reinforce what the mentor's supposed to do. Dance and physical fitness, the girls love this. Once a week after school, the girls participate in dance and aerobic exercises, and it reinforces the camaraderie among the girls, and also physical activity is great. You learn how to take care of your health. Cultural and community service, cultural events. Several times a year, they attend concerts, plays, and other cultural events. They also volunteer at daycare centers and senior centers and do a lot of community service. And they have role models, key people who are distinguished women in the community, provide inspiration and insight on their roles and how they've gotten where they've been since a teen. And this helps the participants to reach their goals. We have a recognition ceremony in June in which it's a special setting with celebrity speakers, and the young students who participate are acknowledged for their participation in the program of Best Friends. The other thing that we have is a parent advisory council. We have found that many parents don't know how to talk with their kids about sex, and we actually have them learn how to talk with teenagers about sex. Research has indicated that when parents communicate with teens about sex and they feel positively connected with their teens and teens feel comfortable with them, then they're most likely to delay intercourse. So that's the basis for this. And parents are learning lots of different skills. I want to talk a little bit about the methods. We had a pretest, post-test design. We had 4 intervention schools and 5 comparison schools. Participants were 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. The intervention participants were selected using a random selection procedure. Everybody wants to get into this program, so they can't take everybody, so they randomly select, and then the remaining kids are placed on a waiting list until the next number of funds are available for the next group of girls to come in. Comparison participants were a convenience sample who did not receive this intervention. However, we did match comparison intervention kids on grade level, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. Now, our instruments, we used an Adolescent Family Core Life Baseline and Follow-Up Questionnaire. We are one of about 30 different studies that have been funded, and they're able to, we're all using the same questionnaire, so they're actually able to compare who's having better outcomes. We also have a demographic questionnaire, and we have Pearson Chi-Square, Mann-Whitney U statistical test, and we use the 0.05 level of significance. Dr. Scharf now will talk a little bit about some of our findings.
The demographic characteristics are that this, all of our participants are 6th, 7th, or 8th grade high-risk girls, primarily of African-American ethnicity. They are from impoverished environments with high rates of unemployment, mostly single-family households, single-parent households, and a high degree of crime, violence, and drug use in the environment. If we look at the intervention and comparison girls, post-test results, we found significant relationships that the intervention and comparison girls reported. That is, the intervention girls were more likely to have dating and party rules set by their parents, able to say no to wrong activities. They said they had more self-confidence. They valued the importance of a good education. They believed that it would be a problem if teens had sex before marriage, even if no pregnancy results. And they also believed that only married people should have sex. When we looked at post-test findings, we found that significantly more intervention than comparison girls reported a belief that abstinence is the only certain way to avoid pregnancy, STDs, and other health problems. These girls are more likely to value that it is more important for them and a future spouse to remain abstinent until marriage, and they are more likely to have the belief that sex before marriage makes it harder for a good marriage and family life. They're also more likely to have more friends who think that they will wait until marriage before having sex. In post-test findings, these are some of the findings that in which the comparison girls were higher than the intervention girls. They're more likely to report that they were not going to ask their parents about questions about body, their own body, dating, alcohol, and drugs, so you see less communication. That they were more likely to have friends who have tried marijuana and other illicit drugs, and that they also feel that they have very little control over their lives.
Okay, now, in addition to just looking at post-test findings, what we did was we did pre- and post-test comparisons, okay? And so now I'm going to report on some of the pre- and post-test results. Results were higher at post-test than pre-test for intervention girls on these factors. Rules about hanging out. Parents have made rules. Where I am also, parents want to know where they are, their guardians want to know where they are. Saying no to wrong activities, they felt very comfortable. Staying away from trouble and more self-confidence.
You're already on the next page.
In terms of comparison girls, I'm sorry, I went ahead of myself. In terms of comparison girls, results, please.
I didn't touch it. You did.
Results were higher at post-test and pre-test for comparison girls. I need to go back to this. I'm sorry. Yeah, please. Results were higher at post-test and pre-test for comparison girls. On these factors, it was okay for teens to date someone 3 or more years older or younger and using marijuana and other drugs. Now, in terms of conclusions, introverted girls have more significant outcomes related to values, absence behaviors, and attitudes than did comparison girls. Findings suggest that the intervention girls who were in the program had more abstinence beliefs, and they carried those out. They also, the intervention reduced risky behaviors, particularly like using drugs, and the abstinence attitudes and behaviors helped to prevent teenage pregnancy, STDs, and other health problems, thereby promoting adolescent health. Now, I want to say something in terms of implications, because we have consistently, this has been a 5-year project, and we keep finding the same findings over the 5 years. So we got strong reinforcement that the program has long-term effects, not just short-term effects. Findings have implications for the development of intervention programs which aim to reduce risky behaviors, promote good values, and abstinence attitudes and behaviors in teens. I think a key role, and especially for school nurses, because school nurses are in contact with these young people in school, they actually can help develop school-based pregnancy programs. They can identify TREDs within their schools. They can review curriculum needs. They can select evidence-based practice, the best practices for working with these teens. And they can evaluate outcomes of programs. Efforts to promote healthy sexual development and reduce unintended pregnancies have frequently been targeted for adolescents in school, in schools, these programs, as well as in community-based sites. Less effort has been focused on the parents. And I think the parents can play a key role. We need to spend more time with them in terms of raising sexually healthy and informed teenagers. So if we can educate our parents to feel comfortable talking to their teens about sex and making the teen feel comfortable with them, we can help to reduce these kind of risky behaviors in teens, drug use, et cetera, as well as prevent teen pregnancy. Teen pregnancy is a complex problem requiring nurses, educators, and others like school principals, guidance counselors to partner and collaborate on the implementation of intervention programs to reduce teen pregnancy and risky behaviors in adolescents. And I thank you. I don't know if anybody has any questions. Yes.
Do you use a set curriculum for the girls around the group
discussions like you talked about? Yes. There's a totally set curriculum. There are books and guidelines for when people are doing the education program. They have to. There's certain objectives and there's certain content that they need to cover, but they do it in fun and interactive ways. So so not somebody standing there and doing straight lecturing, but the components are covered and they're reinforced. And we find that the kids who've been in the program longer, and they've maintained abstinence, they have it all down. The sixth graders are just learning. So they have some points that need reinforcement. So it's not like you can give a kid a program like once in an 8-week program or something and expect them to remember it all. I think reinforcement is the key here, and that's the beauty of why this program has such positive outcomes.
Question?
The word that term was picked because we're trying to help instill values into these individuals' values, and it isn't a power type of a thing, because actually these kids are able to talk and communicate and feel like they're on a equal kind of basis and share really where they're at. It has to do with the value of staying away from drugs, the value of
not drinking, the value of not smoking. So that word value encompasses those things. The value of abstaining from those other kinds of risky behaviors. We know they're not good things for teens, so that's a good thing to try and stay away from those particular behaviors. So that's where that term is coming from. It isn't, maybe value isn't the best word, but that was sort of the summary word. And the same.
Rest of my question. Actually, I don't know if this was an excellent summary or if it was a combined education program in terms of sexuality.
It's a youth development program, so it's not abstinence only.
Yeah, and also, we're in the state of New Jersey. In the state of New Jersey, mandatory comprehensive education occurs in the school. This is like an added curriculum which teaches, emphasizes the abstinence end of it.
So the kids in the Newark Public School System get something from the Newark Public Schools. So that's everybody in the, and then this is something else they join. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.